Morning, everybody. Thank you, Father. I love today. Every day is a day that you've made. I want to begin this morning by addressing something that's in the bulletin having to do with this book, the book I have written. This book has been in the makings for about 5 years. Actually, it's been in the makings for about 50 years. It's an accumulation of things that I've taught and things that I've now expanded upon more deeply. Some of the things I'd like to tell you about it is that presently the book has a glitch in the printing. The back of the book has an error in the spelling, and I notified the publisher about that. And consequently, they're making the change. So if you have ordered it from Amazon or Zulon Press, which is the publisher, or Barnes & Noble, they have put a delay on the book until probably after Labor Day, sometime around, the middle of the following week. I don't know exactly, but the book is available, will be available. Some people, Mark Zotti told me he already got a copy, but he got a copy of this one. Yeah, very, very limited edition. The contents inside the book are the same. It's just the back cover that's messed up. And you don't want to send out an imperfect product. Right? Right. The book, I would say, is revelatory. Not that it's a revelation of things that have never been known, but it's a revealing of things that are in the Word of God and relate to the Word of God that are being lifted into our present reality so that we understand. The purpose of it is to bring to our understanding, number one, that there is only one body in the entire universe, the body of Christ, that all true believers have been baptized into. And what are the results of that? What are the consequences of one body? How does that affect our lives, our ministry? How does that change things? And so some of those questions are answered. And in all reality, I must tell you that nothing is going to be done overnight. What I reveal isn't going to take place right away. The fact that we are one body doesn't mean that everybody's going to accept that truth and act upon that truth. But that's up to God, not up to me. It's up to God to continue to make that truth known as people read the book and hear others talk about the reality of John 17, 21 and 23, that there's only that we have been made one. And the truth is that we are not becoming one. We have already been made one. There's a huge difference between the already existence of one body of Christ versus those who think they have to accomplish it. There's nothing to accomplish. There's everything to maintain. So I'm not looking for an overnight response. I do believe that's up to God. He wants truth to be put out, and then by his Spirit, he'll work on the lives of people and leaders all throughout the world if it happens to go throughout the world. I don't know where it will go. I'm getting calls from radio stations around the nation who want me to be a guest speaker to talk about this. I do not promote myself. I never will. That, to me, is not part of my life. I believe that's up to Jesus to make available in my life who he wants me to speak to, where, when, and how. I never push the envelope. That's part, as far as I'm concerned, other people can do. I don't do that. I let God be God. He will do the promoting. And so whatever happens, happens. As he opens the doors to let other people hear about this, that's all fine and good. I only want what I have written to get out because I believe God wants it out. That's how I see it, friends. I thought the cover was outstanding. The publisher picked it because it focuses on Jesus. I just love that. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we come this morning to enjoy the communion table and everything that it represents, and I pray that you give us deeper understanding. And the word revelation again comes to my heart that we have a deeper revelation of the meaning, the accomplishments of the cross, of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. It is a core of our faith. If Christ has never gone to the cross, then everything else is meaningless. We are still in our sins. If he has not been raised, what is the point? So we come today to look for the realities, the depths, the truths that will enable us to live better, believe more, to walk differently, more powerfully, more victoriously. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's begin with looking at where we were last week in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 26. And Paul is reminding us, "And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And 2 weeks ago, we looked at that element, that aspect of communion. Do this in remembrance of me, meaning, what is Jesus, what is it about Jesus we should remember? Who is he? What did he do? What did he accomplish? And it was amazing the amount of activity, mental activity that was stimulated thinking about Jesus and all he was and is when he went to the cross. In the same manner, verse 25, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the cup of my new covenant, of my blood. Do so as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then in verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we're going to focus this morning on the death of Christ. What does that mean? I know that all of you are going to immediately say, "Well, thank you, Jesus, that you took my sins and you died on my behalf, that your body was broken for me, that you suffered the consequence of my life, my sinful life, and all of my sins were put upon you, and you shed your blood for me, and praise God, and thank you for your stripes, because by your stripes I'm healed." I'm going to take you a little bit deeper this morning, okay, about what his death means. So in order to do that, let's go to Romans chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 3. This is really key. Now, this is pertaining to the death of Jesus. "Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in his likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." First thing I want to ask, or perhaps give you some better understanding, is what is sin? The Greek word is harmatia, and it means to miss the mark. It's a word that would be used if an archer was taking an arrow and directing it at a target, a bullseye. And he released the arrow. And the arrow went and it didn't hit the red. It was out at the fringes. Close, but no cigar. It missed the mark. You follow? Sin is missing the mark that God has as a standard for life. All behavior is summed up in either you're missing the mark or you're on the mark, and the only way you can be on the mark is through Christ. In him, our behavior can become the will of God done in our lives and through our lives. That's missing the mark on the other side. So you might think it's the Ten Commandments. Beloved, it's a whole lot more than the Ten Commandments. It's the way of life that is either pleasing or displeasing to God. So you either miss the mark or you hit the mark. And the only way to hit it is through Christ. Here are the steps that we can look like. I want to ask the question and then try to answer it the best I can. When were we baptized into Christ? Do you know that the Bible doesn't say that? It only says that we were baptized into Christ. In the Greek tense, which is the aorist, it doesn't say the exact time. It only states the activity that was accomplished, meaning we were, all of us believers, baptized into Jesus Christ's life so that when he died, we died with him. When he went into the grave, we went into the grave with him. When he came up out of the grave, we came up out of the grave. Do you understand that? This is so powerful to our lives. It affects our behavior, our thinking, our attitude, our holiness, our victories, our overcoming. It's essential to our walk. We were baptized into his death. Thus, when we come up, the old man has been stripped off, left in the grave, buried. The old man is the man of sin, us, what we did that did not make hitting the mark possible. We never hit the mark. We always miss the mark. The old man is the vehicle through which we sin, how we think sin, prepare to sin, disobey God, go our own ways. That man, that vehicle, instrument, do you understand my use of that term? Is buried. Buried, buried, buried. That's the power of water baptism. Buried, buried. And now we come up in newness of life. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a brand new creation. Brand new. And all things are new. And all these things are of God, it says in 2 Corinthians 5. Everything now about our lives comes from God, who changes us from glory to glory. Ultimately, we're going to look like him in the resurrection. We have been already raised and are seated with him, but ultimately there will be a resurrection of our mortal bodies, at which time we will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that. Those of us who are alive and remain at his final coming, way after he has put all of his enemies under his feet, conquered them all, and he's prepared to turn the kingdom back over to the Father. At that moment, when we are raised with him, we will be changed. Our mortality will put on immortality. Our lives, our bodies will become glorified, as it says in Scripture. We will be like him. That is for a time way in the future. But I look forward to that. Death has no more power over us. The fear of death. You know, Satan operates in the fear of death. You could see it today in society. People are frightened. Frightened about dying. Frightened about COVID. Worried that it's going to kill them. That they're going to get sick. And Satan is having his way with people. They're afraid of death. We're not afraid of death. Death is a doorway to eternity for us. That's what it's about for us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:22. I love this word. This is really a wonderful word. Just this one sentence. Then we're going to expound on it. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So here's the deal. All of us, all of mankind, all of humanity was in the loins of Adam. Okay? Everybody, every human that has ever existed and ever will exist came out of the loins of Adam. And it says that all who are in Adam die. Now there's a switch. You can be in Adam or you can be in Christ. When we were baptized into Christ, we left Adam and we became in the body of Christ. In Adam, all die. He was alive and he died. In Christ, with Christ, we die and then live. He gets rid of the old Adam in water baptism. The old body of sin, the old nature. We died there and we came alive. In Adam, we lived and died. Now in Christ, we died and live. You follow the difference? It's a wonderful exchange. The only thing that's going to come out of people who still live in Adam is death, destruction in their lives. But once we have been delivered from him, baptized into Christ and into his death, we are raised in newness of life. And the old man and all the ways and the way he thinks and acts and attitudes. And I am so grateful to understand that this is a possibility, a reality for us, for me, for you, and for all who will follow. Some of us are stuck in our behaviors that haven't changed in decades because the old man wants to still be alive. But that man died. Beloved, he died and has been raised. The activity is by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the last word for this morning as we come here. Romans 6, let's go back here. It's in Romans. Verse 11, this is the last word I want us to focus on. Therefore, it says, likewise, you also, here's the key word, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The key word there is reckon. So you can hear this teaching, you can appreciate it, but unless you reckon it, it's not going to happen. Reckon is to logically assess something, to estimate it, to reason with it, to think about it, to consider it, to account it. That's what reckoning means. Reckoning is an act of faith. I reckon I'm dead. I think I'm dead, and I think I'm alive. I agree with scriptures. Logically, I accept this truth. I reasonably agree with this. I've reasoned it out. This is what God wants you to do today. I want you to begin to reason it out with God that you died, that all the issues that you have had in your life that continually harass you and haunt you, that you constantly go back into, are gone because the old man that you were is dead and buried, and a new man has come up. I'm not talking about spiritual rebirth. We are spiritually reborn when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Our spirits are alive to God, but the body, which conducts the behavior of our lives, that has to be transformed. It has to be buried with Christ and raised with him, stripped off and left in the grave. That you have to reckon. If you can begin to reckon, you're not going to do this overnight any more than I have. If you can begin to do this, you're going to begin to see change in your life you've never known before. That you'll see yourselves alive in God, and that Christ in you is living in you and through you. And the old man's gone. The old person you thought with all of your memories of that person, forget that guy. There's a new life that you have in Christ. A powerful life, a victorious life. And that's what we do when we come to the table this morning. We show forth the death of Christ, what has happened with his death that happened to us. What happened to him happened to me and to you. And now we have this joy of living in newness of life with him, raised up with him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise him forevermore. So this morning, when we come to take the elements here and go back to our family groups and our friends, pray, think, reckon, talk about, consider, realize, and praise God for the work that he has done. He took you out of Adam, the nature of Adam, and put you into the nature of Christ, into the life of Christ, where we now live and rejoice. I praise you, God, for that. I'm humbled by that. The work of salvation is not up to us. It's up to you. It's always been up to you. Your miraculous, mysterious, supernatural ways are better than all the natural efforts we ever can apply to make ourselves better. We accept what you have done and rejoice in it. And by faith, we live in it. We thank you for a new understanding today, a revelation perhaps for some, that we will never be the same after this, from this day on. We'll enjoy a freedom from sin, a victory in our lives, and a joy of knowing Christ in us. Amen and amen. So, as you are free, please come and take of the elements and go back to your groups and pray and let God be God with you.